Welcome to the Thriving Birth Worker Podcast, a space for conversations about how you, the birth worker, can create not only a fulfilling and sustainable career, but a joyful and thriving life. I'm Erin Underwood, an educator, movement specialist, mother of four boys, and a total anatomy nerd. My passion is to see birth workers encouraged, supported, and empowered in their careers and life.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the Thriving Birth Worker Podcast. I'm Erin, and how are we all doing? I was thinking this morning about a weekend workshop I took this last summer with Katie Bowman of Nutritious Movement. I was remembering being in a community of like-minded, whip-smart folks, learning what I so passionately love to learn about, which is movement and the body, and moving my own body at the same time in a really gorgeous environment. I was remembering how naturally movement came to me before this pandemic hit us. I was thinking about how naturally movement flowed from my body. It was just easy at that point. I'm now noticing how hard it is. Moving has become a lot less natural to me. I feel a lot of resistance to moving right now. That pull to go into the fetal position in bed. It's been hard. I want to stay tucked up in bed as I feel everything that I'm feeling. There's this tricky balance between honoring our emotions and not simply stuffing and powering through, but also acknowledging that movement is a powerful influencer of our emotions. So today, I'm going for a long walk after a quick 10-minute cardio workout where my goal is to move my big emotions through my body, at least partially. If you're feeling stuck on how to move, but you know that movement would serve your body well, I've created two immune-supporting movement classes. The lymphatic system is moved through movement, and these classes target moving the areas of the body where we have large clusters of lymph nodes. One's more relaxing and the other one requires a little bit more energy. You can find these under the show notes of today's podcast. I'm here wanting to serve you, my community, as we move through all of this together. Have you ever wondered why movement modalities and soft tissue therapies seem to be categorized in separate spaces and talked about as separate things? The woman I got to talk to in today's podcast does an amazing job at integrating both these modalities together for a powerful healing combinations for her parents. I get to talk to Jenny Burrell today. We covered so much ground in today's episode, from understanding the postpartum period, scar tissue release work, diastasis recti, how to support your clients emotionally without getting burned out, balancing how we educate ourselves and how we educate our clients, and knowing what is appropriate. Really, we got into it all. Jenny is, simply put, wise. She's a powerhouse entrepreneur driven by her passion to support women in all stages, and I am deeply honored that she agreed to come onto the podcast. Jenny Burrell is the head of Burrell Education, one of the UK's leading edge educators in the field of modern pregnancy, post-baby, third age, referring to the perio-post menopause period, and female fitness wellness, massage, bodywork therapies. The Burrell Education also stands alone in the UK as the only education company solely dedicated to creating and delivering education to professionals serving women through these major life phases. They are an unashamedly female-focused education company. The mission is to ensure that no woman gets left behind when it comes to her being deeply educated about her own body and empowered to be her own deepest advocate for her health in both good and challenging times. When Jenny created Burrell Education in 2007, her sole intention was and still is to revolutionize the way we as fitness and wellness professionals work in wellness, nutrition, soft tissue therapy, and fitness with pregnant, post-baby, and peri-to-post menopausal women. So let's get to it. Here is my conversation with the amazing Jenny Burrell. Jenny, welcome to the podcast. I am so thrilled that you're here today.
I am very, very pleased to be here. I'm always struck by the technological wowness of me sitting here in England. I live in West Sussex by the coast, and then speaking to people all over the world. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
I know, I love it. So for those of my listeners who may not have heard of you, can you just tell us a little bit about your background? You've been in this world for a really long time, that maybe go back to, you know, what sparked this interest, what drove you to this work, and then a little bit of how your business has evolved over the years.
Oh, gosh. Like most people, you kind of fall into things. So I started out as a trainer in a gym, and my husband, then my boyfriend, he's 6 years older than me. And at the time, his girlfriends were all starting to have their first babies. And they said, oh, you're a trainer. Can you train me after I've had the baby? And so then I took my very first cert to do that. And really, I really took to it because it's quite a journey. If you start with somebody in pregnancy and then you take them all the way back to, you know, recovered in air quotes and back to previous strength, that's a long journey. And, you know, I am one of these pre-postnatal specialists who I enjoy very much working with the women. I'm a woman's woman, and it was very much and very much an interesting journey to observe these women going through pregnancy and then all the stuff that they had to deal with. This was before I became a mom myself, and I was always fascinated by just that transition from not, you know, from before motherhood to being a single girl out in the world to then becoming a mother. I think it's the story of the transition that really made me, that has always struck me as something huge and something that I wanted to be part of for other women.
That's fabulous. Yeah, I think a lot of us, it is a calling. I think it's really cool. I just love that question because it's always, no one just says like, oh, I just wanted to do it because I needed to get a job and get paid. Yeah. Everyone has such a connection to they were felt called and they felt drawn. So what is your work like now? I know you've morphed very drastically from where you're at, you know, just more one-on-one to you have a very wide reach.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So what is my, well, at the moment, well, it's really funny. I think that people think that I possibly go out and train people or work with people. I don't. I am literally a desk jockey now. So I have a lot of desk work. I study a lot. I write a lot. So I'm always in the process of creating something. So I very much kind of desk filming, creating courses. And I have quite a large team that helps me with that. I also have a pelvic health program. And so, again, servicing the licensees of that program. And then I see clients, not so many these days, but I also teach soft tissue therapy as well. So that's really what my hands-on is now, and hands-on for scar recovery, scar release, scar therapy, and hands-on for diastasis rehab. So I really think going forward, my work will very much revolve around the soft tissue therapy aspects of rehabbing moms and working with moms and working with women, as opposed to the movement. The movement, it always feels like, you know, I could do that standing on my head. For me, I'm much more interested in the hands-on elements.
That's awesome. Yeah, hands-on is so powerful. It can make such a powerful shift in the body. So backing up a little bit, you are really good at separating and without separating, because how can we really put anything in a box, but focusing on different stages that women are going through and really dialing in what the needs are and identifying maybe some sticky spots that they're experiencing in the postpartum, but then the prenatal and after. And so when you are working with people who are working with prenatal clients. So we're talking to birth workers here.
Yes.
What are a few of the things that you see that you wish maybe that were a little more widely understood or practiced, or maybe, and I love how you talk about how sometimes we can just throw the whole kitchen sink at our clients.
Oh.
And it can almost be overly idealistic and not practical. And so the client is sitting there overwhelmed. And I think the prenatal stage is one of those stages where the clients, a lot of times, are already like, they're buying all the books and they're wanting to do the courses and they want to do everything possible for this baby that they're growing. And so that balancing act of, we want to support our clients, but also like, we don't want to overwhelm them. So how do you walk that tightrope, especially in the prenatal period? Because I feel like it's such a tender space.
Mm-mm. Well, when I was preparing for this interview, I really thought about, you know, kind of where I am now, speaking to the professional serving these women and this life phase, the pregnancy to perinatal phase. And I have to say, we need to go back to real talk. There's a lot of fantasy talk here. There's a lot of under preparing women for the reality of the life they're going to have in most cases. So I think the preparing for a birth, like the woman who I work with, the midwife who I work with, Sophie Jacob, she's based out in Hong Kong, you know, she is very much like, yes, prepare for your ideal birth, but my gosh, simultaneously, prepare for things not going exactly as you wanted to. And I think there is room for this. Now, obviously, it takes a very skilled professional to do this, but I believe that we have to have the real talk. I believe that the lack of real talk is a foundation for the postnatal depression, the anxiety, the PTSD that we see in the postnatal period, because people are not necessarily trained or have the education to be able to create that balance in the expectations.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah. Personally, after my first birth, I had severe postpartum depression, but no one had really processed with me, like, these are the signs that you look for. This is normal. Yes. Like, this is what you could experience it as, because for me, it was just overwhelm more than just what I had personally labeled depression.
Mm-hmm.
And anxiety, and it manifested in a way where, for some reason, I just was like, oh, it can't be that. Like, because I had some really vague definition in my mind, because no one had just sat down and said, honey, this is what you can look out for. Like, don't be afraid of it, but, you know, these are things to be aware of. And, you know, even simple things like, I didn't know that I was going to bleed for like 6 weeks after I gave birth. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's not fair. Like, Who decided that was what's going to happen to my body? So, like, the first time mom, I did feel like there was so much learning on the job that I didn't have anyone just kind of talk me through. So, yeah, it's that real talk of just like, hey, let's just be honest and real and not, you don't have to be afraid, but yes.
And you know what? I really believe that we could do a better job as the professionals in preparing moms for things like that. That's a simple, simple conversation to have, isn't it? And I believe it's just like, so what are we doing if we're not including things like, right, you might be bleeding for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, and, or in your case, 6 weeks. And also what to look out for if you extend, say, beyond 6 weeks. You know, what happens if you start passing clots or et cetera. It's a tricky one because you don't want the overload, but sometimes I feel that there is a lack of the important conversations happening, which then lead people to have experiences like yours in the postnatal period where you're thinking, well, I've got everything else to deal with and now I've been bleeding for weeks. So I feel that, you know, I have a thing that I do within our courses, and it's called the circle of support task. And this is to be done at when people are working with women in pregnancy. And then and hopefully you're doing it at the end of your pregnancy before you're out of the hospital. But it still can be done retrospectively in the postnatal period. And this was my homage to real talk here. And it's a circle, and if you want to make it yourself for the listeners, so it's just like in the middle of the circle, it's the words, "Who will support me? Who will support me?" And we go through, right, okay, so you have a dog. Who will walk the dog? If you have a C-section or you know, you're just taking time to get back onto your feet after a vaginal birth, you can't walk the dog. Okay, who's going to walk the dog? And for women to think about, who is going to do that? If you've got other children, who will do the school run? Or maybe American people might say like carpool or things like that. Who will do the school run in terms of recovery, nutrition, and making sure we truly do have that period of nutritional repletion? Okay, can we start batch cooking some nutritious food to go into the freezer? Laundry. Who's going to do the laundry? We all know what it's like to lift a massive basket of laundry and get that all down to the laundry area or the laundry room. Who's going to do the laundry? And literally, it's just going through this list. What jobs do you do? What roles do you have in your life now, in your family life? And who's going to help you?
Yes, that's so practical. And I think a lot of us women are just so like, we'll just power through, we'll make it happen. And this leads me perfectly into my next question as far as I think a lot of people define the postpartum stage. It can be anywhere from 6 weeks, about, you know, like 6 weeks, you're cleared to go. You can exercise, you can do, you know, you can live your life.
Yeah.
Sometimes if we're, you know, generous, it can be like 8 to 12. When you're talking with your clients on even all the support and awareness around recovery and not the idea of getting your body back, but just the recovery and the, you know, your body just went through so much change. How do you approach when you're processing, talking about the postpartum stage or perinatal stage?
Okay. I'm really glad you asked me this, Erin, because I want to suggest an extension of this concept of the fourth trimester. All right, so I literally have a diagram in front of me on my desk. And we have, first of all, the early, mid, and then late fourth trimester. Now, the early is actually the end of the pregnancy when we're doing prep to the early post-birth. Now, and early post-birth, I'm going all the way up to 1 year postnatal, because in terms of connective tissue healing and the healing of wounds and any physical traumas, any cuts, any tears, we literally, physiologically, it takes our body about 1 year. And that's just anatomy and physiology. The mid phase, I would say from 1 year post-birth up until potty trained. Now, that's about three, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have had a child, you know how dramatically life changes when you are not changing nappies. When you are, you know, literally that kit bag that you pull around with you starts to diminish, because now the child can say they need the toilet. And so that's about three. And then the late fourth trimester, I feel in England, we have a thing called reception. So your child will go to school. Sorry, I need to just cough. Your child will go to school between four, start the first part of school, four and five. And then I think once your child is into school and, you know, you've got nine till in the UK, nine till three, then that I think is the end of the talking about the fourth trimester. So I just think this whole, you know, I mean, from just before birth to 1 year, child is 1 year old, mid phase, up until potty trained, late, right up until the child enters like full-time education. What are your thoughts on that?
I love it. And I want to dive a little bit deeper because I feel like it's a really, it can be a tricky balancing act between not making a woman feel weak or unable, but also not rushing into, I'm going to pretend that nothing happened that not meeting my body where it's at. So I feel like it's a very powerful way that we can create that awareness around giving, like when we, so for myself, I'll just talk from my own experience. I've had 4 births.
Mm-hmm.
So every time I learned a little bit more and I'm a very like go-getter, like just, you know, after the first birth, like I fit back into my jeans, like a week later, like I was just like, that is my goal. Like get my body back. Like I'm healthy. I'm good. Severe postpartum depression, like really a lot of struggles with breastfeeding. Like I just had a laundry list of things on the inside that were really causing a lot of turmoil, but externally I was like, oh, my body's back. Like I'm good now. And by the 4th one, I was like, I'm laying in bed for a week. Like I am like, I just had this, I guess a little more wisdom from experience and not pushing myself and acknowledging like, I am going to meet my body where it's at. I'm going to use just steps, just really intentional steps and tools. And it was really good, but I just would love for women to, because that's what I tell a lot of young moms of, I talk about this 4th trimester and how it is real. Like it's not, it's so real. Like even that 3-month mark after the baby's born, there's a shift. It's 3 months, not 6 weeks. And where I was like, I'm starting to feel a little bit more like myself. And like, I feel like I could come up for air. And I think there's this pressure sometimes, like what's wrong with me if it doesn't happen super fast. And so what you're saying, I think is really powerful that we can talk about that physiologically, let's just talk about anatomy and hormones and every feeling. Like we're not talking about like you as a person, like you're somehow weaker or anything like that. It's just science where this is a normal healing process. And all of this experience, like when we normalize it, I think it's easier maybe for me and my type A personality to be like, okay, it's not like I'm failing a test. I'm just on a healing journey and it's supposed to take this much time. And I think that relieves a little bit of the pressure.
Absolutely. Well, you know, if we look to anything but Western culture, we will see that women birth and then they rest and they recover. It's only in Western culture where then you're supposed to like literally spring back up and get on with stuff. I remember on a trip I went to Malaysia to teach, and you know they were very interested in exercise in the postnatal period, but when I then started to discuss the concept of, you know, nutrition for cellular regeneration and all of this, you know, they looked at me as if like, you know, what are you talking about, woman? And I should have done my homework before I went. Then they started, you know, they schooled me and they said, whoa, hold on with your nonsense, your Western nonsense. These girls aren't, you know, they've got 100 days of confinement, 100 days. Where you will, you'll birth your baby and there will be no housework, no cooking, no cleaning, no sex, no anything. Your job is to feed the baby. That's it. And literally all of the women in your family rally around you. And as they've become a bit more, you know, modernized and maybe people don't live around their families, then literally you will then hire the confinement woman, who will then come and perform all of those tasks for you for 100 days. And it was, and in this class, there were people who had given birth, you know, months ago, like, you know, 6 months postnatal and things like that. And I, you know, literally, I had never seen, there was a softness to them, their faces, they're the most restful faces. Their bodies as well. When I then check them for diastasis, no diastasis. Oh, what have you been doing? Nothing. I've not done anything. But then when we looked at their nutrition, then we saw that it was perfect. It was textbook. I mean, and then of course, you know, I'm not patronizing their age-old strategies. But it was textbook. It was absolutely textbook as to what a cell in your body needs to recover post an event such as birthing. Textbook. Amazing. And the rest aspect. Well, we know that under the influence of elevated stress hormones, then literally wounds do not heal as well. The immune system is suppressed. So you do not recover as well when you're jacked up. Now, when you, pregnancy is a time of naturally elevated stress hormones. That's part of the body holding on to the pregnancy. It's a good thing. We then birth, and part of the triggering of birth, as you know, as a doula, is that an elevation of cortisol. That's part of that mechanism. Now, we then birth. Stress hormones are high for that. But then we go into the postnatal period, and what have we got? We've got a lack of sleep, an amount of stress. You know, babies don't come with a manual. And so we also into that period of elevated stress hormones and inflammation. I would say 100 days of people of literally, you know, your women folk gathering around you is the perfect antidote to just, you know, what has happened to you and your body.
That's amazing. That's just, I love questioning, and this is something I talk about on my podcast quite a bit, of is normal normal, or is your normal actually just a cultural perspective? Mm-hmm. Because when we can step outside and realize, okay, I'm looking at this through my cultural lens of my experience and just the world that I live in, and what isn't possible. Because when a lot of times we hear these types of stories, we immediately jump into, well, that's not possible in our culture. And while it is countercultural, so anything countercultural takes more effort to make happen, whether it be just even assuming that it is possible all the way to implementing. But when we know, we can shift culture. Like, we can, through time and through storytelling and through all of it, say, okay, you know, this is something that we want to move towards. And, you know, really, I think we're so independent a lot of times in Western culture that we just forget to ask. We forget to put ourselves out there and say, could someone support me one day a week? Like, could someone come over for a couple hours and hold the baby? Could someone come over and make a meal or do the laundry or whatever it is? And starting there and not being afraid to ask, because we realize, we acknowledge, like, physiological changes and the need for our body to heal. Like you said, just that elevated stress, like, what can I do to combat that elevated stress in my own life is so powerful.
Yeah. You know what? I believe, my son is adopted. And when my husband and I were going through this process, we went into this process and this decision as equals, you know. So and during that process, you have classes and new parent classes, and they ask, well, where's the space for this baby in your life? You work, this is how you're working, mom, this is how you're working, dad. Where is the space for the baby? And you have to sit down and literally with pen and paper decide, well, okay, so the mom will need help doing X, Y, and Z. Dad, how are you going to support this? And I think if this class was, if everybody was taking this class, you know, and had to jump through the hoops and the rigorous kind of introspection that you have to as an adoptive parent, definitely in the UK, then I think the conversation would be completely different and the outcome would be different. So, you know, it's like, well, I will need help doing X, Y, and Z. Who's going to help me? I mean, I was always feeling like that. I already had a pretty two businesses, you know, going into my motherhood. It was just like, Well, I need help because I'm not going to close my businesses. So how are we going to work this? And you know, do you know what happened, Erin? We lived in London, in central London, which you know is pretty hardcore, busy, a busy place. And literally, we sold that house and we moved to the coast to... And so then we lost our mortgage. You know, we didn't have to, we like lived mortgage free. And then also my husband, who had a job, you know, where he went every day, you know, he then went freelance. And now we both work at in the house. And so something, you know, I don't know what, I just thought, well, I can't do that all. You know, I really had that feeling. It was just like, are you kidding me? And not only that, I'd worked with all of these women for all of these years. And I was like, whoa, that's not one person's job. It's not one person's. It just can't be. That's nonsense. Of course, it's not one person's job. And so, yeah, so I already from the beginning instinctively just thought, oh, well, I'm not supposed to do this all on my own, am I?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so literally we literally transformed our life and our working situation and our home situation to have the space.
Yes. It's so good too, because I think if we were to, a lot of times with women, if we were to flip this over on its head and say, your child has these needs, most women would move heaven and earth.
Yes.
Like when I know so many women who their kids have special needs or they have special considerations, and they will move heaven and earth to be like, we're going to be in the right school district, or we're going to do whatever it takes so that this child gets the support that they need. They will figure out a way to have this, you know, to afford the special diet. They will do all these things. And yet when it comes to ourselves, we're like, well, you know, that's just not going to work. We don't go into that intense problem solving, like you make it happen mode. And so, yeah, just to be able to slow down and question that and be like, well, you know, if you're not pouring into yourself, you're not going to be able to be there for your family the way you want to be and be present and you matter. All of that is really important.
You know what? I just suddenly had a thought, Erin. You know, pregnancy, how you say, oh, there's a lot of I've got to do this class to prepare for my birth. I need to make the nursery. I need to get the right cot. I need to get the right pram, what do you call it? Stroller, etc. So I feel, honestly, it's such a noisy, noisy time. And I think that people sometimes are purposefully noisy. They're distracting themselves from the conversations that have to be had, like in deathly silence. Do you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you get busy, 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 busy. But really, I believe that, you know, never mind about that nursery, never mind about that pram. Literally, our priority is how do we make this work? How do we become a team? And that's huge. That's huge. I believe that many women, modern women, think that being the mom is all on them in general.
Yes.
I'll do house. I'll look after the kids. I'll da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and probably work outside of the house. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that mindset that has to change for me. It's just like, whoa, no, we're a team. We're a team. And my son is 6. Even now, he is an active part of the team. You know, he has a few jobs that he does, but it's just like, whoa, we're a team. You know, if I'm, you know, he gets himself dressed, he's 6, he makes his own bed. And I let him know that, oh, well, I don't ask you to make my bed. You're 6. Your bed is tiny. You just like pull one duvet up. It's cool. And, you know, but letting him know that as part of this team, he, in whatever way he can as a 6-year-old, can also contribute to the team. And my husband too, you know, we are a team.
Exactly. Yeah, that's so good, that team element. So I'm going to shift gears a little bit, because if I don't ask you a few of these questions, my listeners are going to be grumpy at me.
Okay.
So, because we've got, you know, you do focus a lot now on the body work. And yes. So I wanted to, we're going to move into talking about diastasis because everyone likes talking about that. Mm. But I wanted to first touch on your work around scar release. So yes. If just a quick synopsis of maybe why it's important and how it works and who, like who, what do you look for in your clients when you are talking about this? So like just so that people have awareness around what is available and maybe what to keep their eye out for with their own clients as far as if they would benefit from some scar tissue release.
Ah, okay. So I think the most important thing for any professional to understand is that when you have a scar, so we've had the C-section scar, and I think all of everybody listening will know that literally the scar that we see on the outside of the woman's body is a tiny, tiny part of the story of that scar. And obviously we've cut through all of those layers of or journeyed through all of those layers of the abdominal wall to reach the uterus and then created an incision in the uterus, et cetera, et cetera. Now, when for many people, when they repair the uterus, that's also taken outside of the abdominal cavity and repaired and then placed back in. So there is a lot of disruption there. And where we have, so the pelvic bowl is full of fascia. It's a connective tissue made of collagen and elastin, and then this thing, this gloop called extracellular matrix. It's like a liquidy. If you think of it kind of like it's the liquid portion of fascia. And when we have a disruption to the fascial network, as in performing a C-section birth, not only do we end up with the scar at the outside of the body, but throughout that pelvic cavity, where whatever organs were moved about, whatever was disturbed in order to birth the baby, we have the potential for adhesions, where literally that fascia, all the connective tissue, they start to adhere, stick to themselves. Now, this the key thing here is that when we have the adhesions, it's like the switch is flicked. And it won't, the switch is never flicked off. It's switched on and it isn't switched off. So your adhesions that you had for a birth 20 years ago can still be growing and causing restrictions. And not only restrictions locally within the pelvis, but now through the fascial network, literally spread their tentacles like an octopus throughout your entire body. So we it is literally the continuous proliferation of those adhesions. That's the problem. This is the problem. And that's when moms say, oh, they have like, I don't know, bowel obstruction and or problems with infertility. Now, both can be caused by ongoing growing and proliferation of adhesions.
That's really good to know. So when you are wanting to, we know that scar release is important. And what kind of stories do you get back from your clients who have had this process done? I know it can be a really powerful experience.
Oh, absolutely. So many people, they come to us because, say, they did a gym workout, they did something new. And then literally the whole area is inflamed and painful. And they're thinking, oh my gosh, have I harmed myself? And for many people, just the understanding of, oh no, okay, so this stuff, this adhesion, it's just laying down and you need to pay attention to it forever now, forever. And for many, there is not a person who we work with that doesn't have an emotional experience when they're having the scar worked on. But because not only the scar, we work on the abdomen, on the entire abdomen, we work on reinstating an optimal breathing strategy. And literally, we will work literally nose to toes. And people think when it's a scar, we're just working on the scar. But work on the scar, but also the global system. And yet there's nobody getting off that table ever thinking, oh, was that it? Most people have had some kind of emotional reaction. You know, I think everybody working in the world of fascia believes that, you know, the connective tissue, the fascia, is also, it holds emotion.
Mm-hmm.
It holds the memory. And I believe if we touch the scar, we definitely touch the emotional, at the source of the scar and what was happening at that time. I don't believe we can work on someone's C-section scar and not evoke memories of the actual operation.
Absolutely. So I know it's hard to make all-encompassing, inclusive statements, but would you in general recommend scar tissue release work for any woman who has gotten a C-section?
Oh, sorry, you just cut out there with the beginning of that question.
Oh, sorry, I'll repeat it.
Yeah.
So it's hard to make all-encompassing like statements of this is always true, but in general, would you most likely recommend scar tissue release work for any woman who has gotten a C-section?
Yes, and for them to schedule that in. Forever, it needs work forever. And I think a great therapist can actually show you how to help yourself. But yeah, that then needs to be part of your self-care forever, for the rest of your life. I think that's an information that many people don't quite get.
Yeah, they just think it's one time and then they're good to go, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's move into diastasis rehab. Mm-hmm. So you have a very full tool basket that you like to use, which I think is really powerful because I think we can very easily latch onto this one exercise or this one modality or this one practice that you do where then you'll see a recovery. And I just wanted to hear about your perspective and your approach because I know you pull a lot of different pieces together, which I think is really powerful and holistic.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely feel, and I stand in two camps. I stand in the movement world and I stand in the soft tissue therapy world and also nutrition. And really, you know what? Nutrition and lifestyle, what first? Number two, soft tissue therapy. Number three, exercise prescription. We can't exercise or strengthen anything that we can't actually move and connect to. And that's where the soft tissue therapy comes in. So now, I mean, I 100% teach courses where I teach the movement aspect, but absolutely, I say, well, actually, for best results, you know, one does need to put one's hands on people. And it's transformational. Maybe the last people that touched that woman, it was in a clinical sense, it was in a medical sense, it wasn't great, you know, to offer to that nurturing touch, you know, especially woman to woman. I mostly work with women professionals. Oh my gosh, we have the capacity to transform how this woman recovers from this birth with our touch.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's really cool to hear you talking about it because I think when we think of the belly, we do not think of soft tissue work. We think of the back, we think of the neck. And I think I've seen a lot of people get even a funny look on their face. Like, what do you mean you would touch the belly?
Wow, yeah.
So I think it's just culturally maybe not as well known. And so I just love that you're talking about that as far as you're saying building that neurological connection, because
yes,
sometimes if it's stuck, if the brain isn't talking to that area of the body, it doesn't really matter how many exercises you're throwing at it. If it's not moving, then you're just recruiting all of the other muscles and you're not getting at the ones that you're aiming for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what, you know, like, you know, when you, do you have a pet? Do you have a dog or a cat?
I don't, but I have in the past.
Okay, so definitely the dog. What does the dog do when the dog wants some love? It flips over and it says, rub my belly. That's all it does. It presents to me and it says, rub it. Okay. And I believe that literally, you know, rubbing a woman's tummy is the gateway to her deeper level of her entering a really much more compassionate relationship with her post-birth body. Because we see it all the time. It's a place. It's the strangest thing to me. I don't know why. I still haven't really explored this properly, but many women have this negative relationship with this underside of their body, you know, their tummy. And when we are in a teaching scenario, you can also see maybe the participants of the class, you know, the professionals, being slightly embarrassed to show their tummy. Now, that's maybe for the first 20 minutes of the class. Now, then as the person who's their partner starts to lay hands on them and with a deep intention to help, then you can see the tension melt away from somebody. You can see that somebody who really hasn't possibly even touched their own tummy or their own scar suddenly soften, allow, and come back home. We've only got this body. We haven't got another one. I think we spend a lot of time, if you pardon my French, ass-kicking ourselves. What happens if we now literally flip that and just kill ourselves with kindness?
I think that's a really powerful way to start wrapping up this conversation. That's just such a potent question that I think I just want to let sit. So can you process a little bit with our listeners just how they can work with you, maybe what you're working on right now that you're really excited about, ways that they could, because I know a lot of your education is online, so it's accessible all over the world. So just a little bit about your resources and what you're excited about right now.
Well, my resources, if you're a doula and you're working with a pregnant client, then definitely our online advanced pregnancy wellness, that I believe is the course for you. That's co-authored with a women's health physiotherapist, a midwife, and then myself covering movement and soft tissue therapy. What I'm excited about now in my next course will be actually an in-person course here in the UK, but it will be a soft tissue diastasis specialist. And in terms of, I'm definitely moving in the next few years into the world of coaching women, you know, post-birth, post-trauma, but, you know, post-big life events, including things like, you know, just the transition to motherhood, transition to menopause. So for me, I think that that's also a missing link.
That's awesome. So I highly recommend that anyone who has had their interest piqued, go check out her website. I will have all the information in the show notes. Jenny, thank you so much for sharing your time and your wisdom and just the powerful work that you're doing in the world right now.
Oh, thank you, Erin. Thank you for asking me.
I could seriously talk with her all day and never get bored and keep learning and getting my perspectives challenged and stretched. If you're wanting to dig deeper into any of the topics we covered in today's podcast, I highly recommend you follow Jenny on social media accounts, as well as check out all the resources she has available on her website. If you're wanting to deepen your knowledge, she probably has a resource that is just right for you. As always, all this information can be found under today's show notes. Can I ask you a favor? If you could pause and jump on over into your favorite podcast player and rate and review the Thriving Birthworker podcast, it's free and a fast way that you can support my continuing to find and bring some of the very best minds in the business into your ears. I'm so grateful for you and for this community, how you serve and continue to show up. I'm cheering you on as we move forward together. Bye for now.
The information and discussion provided on this podcast are not intended and should not be construed as medical advice. If you have a medical concern, you should consult with an appropriately licensed physician or healthcare provider.